Well, good day, everybody. Pastor Tim Carscott here, Christian Center, Shreveport. In our daily podcast, so glad you joined us today. We're in Passover week. We're in unleavened bread here for 7 days, and then first fruits. But then it's leading to a season of provision, which speaks of Shevet water, Pentecost, as we call it. We're going to count the days until we see provision for what God's doing in the earth, right?
Pray for peace, Jerusalem, city of our God. Their salvation was poured out for you, the atoning of the Lord. Once your streets filled with joy, branches raised up high.
Well, blessings to you today. I pray you're being blessed on this day. It's Thursday. It's the 25th day of April 2024. We are, like I said, in the feast season. One thing I love about the feast is you're doing something that you know the Lord loves. And as we shared Sunday, our friend Benny Friedman spoke, we need to always be careful because the scripture calls these biblical feasts. We call them Jewish feasts because they celebrate them. I get it, but they were biblical feasts. And we need to understand that and not separate it. Well, this is something they do. Let's do what they do. No, let's do what the Word says. And as I shared yesterday about 1 Corinthians 5, about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we have to walk. Paul tells us to clearly celebrate them. So we are celebrating them. I hope you've enjoyed the message this week. Yesterday, I felt like I rushed through that one a little bit. I hope y'all hung in there with me. But I want to start shooting us toward the next season now. We got first fruits coming up. There's debates on when first fruits is to be celebrated. Some would have said the day after Passover or a couple days after. Some believe later. To me, I see the arguments for both sides. 3 days, he's the first fruit of the resurrection of the dead. He did resurrect 3 days after Passover, so I get that. But nonetheless, we know it's in this moment of time in first fruits. If you've been listening to us, we've been teaching about that. Go back and listen to our first fruits message we gave. We've been doing that every year. So you could probably just go to Christian Center's Report on the YouTube page and just type in first fruits, and you'll probably see all the different sermons we've done on it. But it's also, and Benny alluded to this Sunday as well, the counting of the Omer, where we count the 50 days. And what I want to call this is the 50 days we're pushing forward to, is it points towards Shavuot, or we call Pentecost, something disciples would do as an observant, being an observant Jew, but they understood this great significance going to a time of transition, to a season of provision. What did Jesus tell his disciples? I'm leaving you. He said, I must leave you so that he may come. The who's he? Holy Spirit may come, that he may teach you in all things. I always say this, a season of transition. I did a message on this recently about how to thrive in a crisis. There's always a crisis. And when Jesus said that, remember, he said, I must leave you. That's crisis. When your teacher, the one who's been with you every day, the one who's doing all the miracles, signs, and wonders, and you're just watching and learning, when he says, I'm leaving, that's a crisis. But then he says, I must leave so that the Holy Spirit can come and lead you into all abundance. So there's a solution. So in every crisis that the Lord creates through circumstances, there's provision on the other side. 50 days, right? He's resurrected. We're counting the Omer right after Passover, right? 40 days, he goes out throughout the earth talking to people, ministering to people. Then he stops 10 days. And then what? A transition to a season of provision. What was the provision? Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit bring? Increase. 3,000 added daily, 5,000 added. House to house, believers, many were coming to the Lord. Signs, wonders, miracles, provision, provision, provision. Plenty of money. It said that nobody had need. Come on. So as we count this 50 days down here, I want you to have that heart that, hey, we're going for a time of transition to a season of provision. Matthew 5, 17, 18. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter of the stroke shall pass from the law until it's accomplished. What is the law? Torah, right? Which means instructions. So when we see the word law, think God's instructions. The counting of the Omer is not in the law, but in the Torah. As part of God's instruction, if the Lord said not even the smallest letter should pass from its instruction, it still stands, since Jesus told us to do that, it still stands, right? So does it apply to us as New Testament Christians? I know that's a question you probably have. So how are we to count the Omer? I mean, obviously they were an agricultural society. They would do it there. And I get that. So for us, counting the Omer is not to be taken literally, but to be taken spiritually. Because remember, the Old Testament's concealed, New Testament revealed. So Omer is what? It's a grain of wheat. Scripture refers to us being a grain of wheat. So Jesus talks about the tares and the wheat. We see that in Leviticus 23. You shall count for yourselves, verse 15 through 17. The days of the Sabbath, it goes on about that. You shall count 50 days. The seventh Sabbath, and you shall present new grain offerings, and you shall bring from your dwelling places two loaves of bread and wave offering made two-tenths of an ephah, and they shall be a fine flour baked in the leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Okay, so Pentecost means 50. Shavuot means weeks. Okay, so why does God want us to count the Omer? Good question. I'm so glad y'all are asking these questions. The weeks speaks the time between the first fruits to Pentecost. The Lord wants us to have self-examination, to prepare ourselves. Yes, we die daily. Don't forget that. But this is a time of year the Lord is asking us to prepare our heart. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead as the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead, as I said earlier, he appeared to many. He appeared to 500, as we are told in Corinthians. And the disciples, during the counting of the Omer, it talks about in John 20, verse 18, Mary sees him counting the Omer. In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us he appears to James and the apostles also during that time. If he appeared to them in this counting, can we believe he will appear to us? I realize we could say he appears to us each day through his indwelling. I get that. He's inside of us. This is a time that when we have been told prophetically that we're waiting for something to happen. Just as in the early church, they were waiting for the day of Pentecost. In John 21, 21, we see Jesus appear to the disciples of the Sea of Galilee during what? The time of the counting of the Omer. Can I tell you something? I had an encounter Monday, Tuesday morning, but when I went to bed Monday night, and he came in such a way, in a physical way to me in a dream. It's one of the most profound experiences I've ever had, right in the middle of the counting of the Omer. I want you to have an expectancy. Now, we're observing these feasts, Passover and Unleavened Bread. And now we are asked to bring the bread with leaven. Remember, during the feast, you don't. It's unleavened. And it's in two loaves of it. We bring it. The unleavened bread speaks of one without sin. And only Jesus was the one that could be that. We still have sin in our lives. We're working on it, right? And one of the reasons we're asked to count the Omer is because this is a special time where God wants us to look within ourselves, as David said, search my heart, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me. So as we go on that story in Leviticus 23, he says, you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf and you wave offering. And they shall have seven complete Sabbaths and shall count 50 days, right? It says, you shall bring it from the dwelling places, two loaves of bread and wave offering made of two-tenths of an ephah. So I shared that. So let's relate that to our lives. We counted the Omer. Jesus appears to us. We die in Christ. And now he tells us to bring the best before him. But our best is still has leaven, right? it still has sin. What is the Lord trying to say through this? All of us come short of the glory, right? But through him, we can obtain righteousness and priest unto the Lord. So the best we have still has leaven. Each one of us, our bread has leaven in it. There's no act of righteous deed that can do to remove this leaven. Only you bring it to him. The only way we can become unleavened, as it says in Leviticus 13:45, it says that if a man has leprosy, he covers his mouth and shouts, unclean, unclean. Then Isaiah 6, we see Isaiah comes to the presence of the Lord and he says, I am a man of unclean lips and from a people of unclean lips. Our unclean lips. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So the two loaves of bread, here we are, ours and his. By abolishing, it says in Ephesians 2:15, by abolishing his flesh, the enmity which is the law of the commandments containing ordinances, so that he himself might be made two into one new man, thus establishing peace. The one new man. God does not divide. Three in one, two become one. Two loaves spread represent the nations and Israel. One new man in Christ. And we together have leaven. But we come as one before the great high priest and apostle Jesus. And so the act of the high priest that weighs these two loaves before the Lord is Jesus takes these two loaves and weighs them. He takes the sin of both the nations and Israel. Through him, we become one new man. Look at this deep meaning. What we're talking about here, the counting of the Omer, is that your best still has leaven until it's given to the Lord. Omer is about us and our sin. The Bible is about Jesus, and we have no way to meet that standard. Only Jesus Christ can take our leavened bread and make it unleavened. So he takes away our sin, waves it before the Lord. He's our great apostle, high priest, right? Because that's what the high priest did. And he waves it before the Lord, and he gives us access to the kingdom of God. Unless our great high priest waves it, it still has sin. So the Israelites would gather the wheat from the fields, and they would put it all together and make one big omer and grind it and make two loaves of bread. And that's the picture of the harvest coming in. Gather both Jew and Gentile, and we become what we call mishpaha. One family with two that are ground together, they become one. So Jesus in Matthew 5 tells the smallest part of the Torah, but come to pass. And since according to John chapter 1, he is the Word, he is the Torah, and so he must fulfill it all. He had to wait 50 days fully. So when the disciples had to wait the 10 days, was to establish the Word and Jesus in the earth. Now we're waiting, makes us make a choice. The Lord waits to see if our hearts will wait on the promise, right? In Revelation 3, he knocks on the door and see if we will let him in. So why do we repeat this year after year? Because we're trying to learn this, right? The first Pentecost at Mount Sinai, 3,000 died. On the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, 3,000 were added. Everything that has happened will happen again. There's nothing new under the sun. So on high, Mount Sinai, glory fell. In the upper room, sanctuary, the glory fell. We celebrate this because the Lord says the feasts stand forever. So we agree with that until he returns. So I want you to have the Holy Spirit's understanding of this truth today. I want to give you a new heart, he says. I want to take a heart of flesh and make it a heart of stone. Take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. The first Pentecost made stone. The second Pentecost was written on our hearts. It's about a heart issue. We're counting the Omer for a divine exchange to give him the best we have. And even though it's been leavened, he removes the leaven and releases fire. Outpouring, I'm speaking right now. Signs, wonders, miracles. This is an expecting season that we're in, right? We need to expect it for the rest of the year. The best of this year is yet to come in the Lord. We can't expect it without the outpouring from him, but we are counting the days until he does bring it. I've never done this and not seen God bless us. This is called grace. Don't take that for granted. The Lord wants sanctification. And when he gets it, He brings that blessing. We are in this season right now. We're going from time of transition to a season of provision. Even in the midst of the crisis, look, it didn't get any more. They were being put in jail during Pentecost season. Yet they came out with boldness, with signs, wonders, miracles, people being raised from the dead, and numbers being added, provision. Speak right now as we count the Omer. Thank God he waves our sin and before the Father, and it's removed by his sacrifice as the unleavened bread before the Lord. All right, take this truth, receive it, walk in it now in the goodness of God. In the name of Yeshua, amen and amen. God bless you. Come back tomorrow, Supernatural Friday. Listening today and each and every day here on this podcast, don't forget, we're in our season of first fruits now as this Passover week starts. If you'll go back to our YouTube or Facebook pages, several weeks ago, did a message on first fruits. You can type that in the YouTube search there, Christian Center Shreveport, first fruits. You can see our message about that. And there's other messages there we've done as well. We're taking up our offering. Seek the Lord if you want to participate with us in this, and you can send it through our app or our website, ChristianCentersReport.com. Ask the Lord for a mountain. So, and then several weeks from now, we're going to pray over everybody's offering, wave it before the Lord, and pray for a blessing on your crop this entire year. All right. Bless you today.